Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Deutschland Calcio. Another week of Serie A and Bundesliga have come to a close. So we are just going to briefly go through some of the key matchups that took place this past weekend. So up first, we are going to start with Inter's dismal loss against Udinese, where they lost 3-1. Oh my gosh, this is another issue. Same old stuff, different day of the week for Inter at this point. There's just no organization. There's a lot of disorganization, miscommunication. Inzaghi is, if things don't shape up with him, could be looking at a possible sacking, but it has already been mentioned that he is going to be there for a little bit longer, depending on how things go. But I would say his job is definitely on the line at this point. There's just no real, like, the winning mentality that they had under Conte and the, like, strict training regimen, that's no longer there. The players don't seem to be playing with what I would say a call, like any other job, they would say with a sense of urgency. They've been
They're
playing a
mentally broken.
yeah.
Because I mean, sorry to interrupt, but the team is built so well. I mean, if you could offer so many Serie A fans who aren't Inter supporters the team that you have, most of us would take it. It's that good. So it's not the team isn't the issue. Because the thing is, with some of the other teams that aren't doing well, it's like, oh, we should have. Sorry. We should have done this in the summer. We should have bought this guy. We should do this. We can fix it by doing this. Inter's team is so good that it's not even a signing's not going to fix the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, it's been like this over the past few weeks. And I mean, the mentality that they once had seems to be gone. And they need to do something to get that back, or else it's bye-bye Scudetto. And at this point, me and a bunch of other Inter supporters who are really seeing what's going on a week-to-week basis are to the point where we're already saying goodbye to it, because if this continues, and hopefully they figure out something mentally and get back into shape, or else it's going to be lights out. But then, of course, you have one of our a couple of our key pieces out with injury, but they should be back just in time after the international break concludes this upcoming week, I would say. And hopefully with them getting back into the formations might help, but unless the mentality is there, it's not looking good for Inter at this point.
And you have to remember, you come back from international break with a big game. It's not small potatoes. You know what I mean?
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. We have
It's us.
Yuzari. Oh.
No Maria sideline, but it's us. And it's different because Dybala is going to be back. He's been resting. I don't think he. I think he's going to international duty with Argentina, but I don't think the intention is for him to play. I think he's just there because he's deserved it, basically. I mean, and these international friendlies are throwaway games, basically, because you see players that were not getting called up regularly to get an opportunity to play for the national team. And so Dybala doesn't need to be there necessarily, but I think just because he hadn't been called up a couple times recently, they just want to reward him for his contribution. So as far as Roma game, Mourinho won't be on the bench, but I think he's still allowed to be in the stadium. I'm not sure. I don't know 100%, but on that, just from an Inter perspective, you're looking at going into a game at home against a team that just was denied four penalties in a game they should have won. they're going to be pissed off. They're going to be so pissed. And you look at what the way Zaniolo has played the last couple since he's been back, and the way he what he does to defenders, and you could argue basically making people making mistakes. Now, if the Roma game is officiated correctly, Roma would have got four penalties. The reason they would have got so many, if Gasperini didn't tip the referee before the game, is the fact that he's making defenders make these type of mistakes. Lukaku's back, which is good, because from all cylinders, you're not really hitting the way you're supposed to. So getting Lukaku back in there is promising, but as an opposing opponent, Lukaku doesn't scare us. Even though we know he's capable of scoring these goals. So obviously it's a big game and you could win it. I think that's going to be a tough one. But obviously going forward, you look at that game, and if that doesn't go your way, it's even more pressure's going to mount on Inzaghi and what he's trying to do with this team. And the pieces are all there. It's just a mental thing. And I don't think you can put that all on him, but certainly there's a component of it there. And you will not have Marcelo Brozovic available for that game. And to me, he's the one that keeps the midfield intact, where Barella goes forward and does what he wants. But if you don't have – if Barella doesn't have the protection behind him, it's going to be difficult to keep it intact as going. I mean, I know I'm speaking into the future now, but after the break. But from Inter, they've started well. They got the goal from Barella off the free kick, really well taken. And it's not particularly that they were awful in any sense. It just wasn't enough. They had chances to score goals. They just weren't good enough in those areas, in those spaces. And that's a problem for many teams, pretty much the entire league. And I think your Scudetto hopes aren't jeopardized, but only because the surrounding, like we talked before, the other teams aren't taking advantage of the opportunities that you're giving everyone else. But, already three losses this season to Lazio, AC Milan, and Udinese. I believe in Conte's Inter, the year they won the league, they lost three games the whole season. So that's a big red flag. And you could argue, okay, Lazio, big game, Milan derby, big game, and then Udinese, big game, but only big game because of how well they've been in Inter. You kind of cover the Inter bit. The Udinese bit is interesting to me because they're cooking something special there. You have to look at what they did to Inter. You look at what they did to Roma. Remember, opening game of the season, they had Milan on the ropes after 3 minutes. They've gotten good points from a lot of these bigger teams, and they've only dropped, I think, four. They have one loss, and I don't remember who it's to. And then they have what point? A draw. So they're cruising. They look like a dangerous team to have to contend with just because of the way they played, and they've caught people off guard with the sales of Molina and DePaul, ironically, both to Atletico Madrid. They've coped well. They got a good collection of pieces and players that are together. Little Friedberg-esque in terms of there's not one big superstar, as there's a lot of pieces that are moving and playing well, and they play with like their hair's on fire. They play with the intensity. They'll go into your house and push you around, and they'll take risks to do so. And because they're Udinese, they have the luxury to do that. And I think, even if they're at home, but against an Inter team, it showed, because from opening tip, they put pressure on you immediately. And I think that was uncomfortable for you guys. And then once you got that goal, you felt okay, but then they came right back. And I think once the game started to tip in their direction, I think you guys were too demoralized to handle it. And in the end, the result was what it should have been. And Inter just, lose another important game, which is too many points being dropped at this point in the season for sure. But again, like we were saying, I don't think it's a squad issue. It's the mental issue. And then the only other thing I'd add is, with respect to Handanovic, I think of this generation or this, the last 20 years or 15, whatever you want to say, last decade, Jan Sommer and Samir Handanovic are arguably the most underrated goalkeepers of that time. But I think it's time to make the call. And I think Onana needs to be starting the Serie A games. You're gonna be up against the ropes against Barcelona anyway. You can throw Handanovic against, I don't know, some of the bottom teams, and you can play him in less important games. But I think Onana has to go and goal now, because I think it's not like Samir is the reason you guys lost or anything like that. But it's just not his lack of reflexes is due to his age, and I think you just need a younger goalkeeper to do that. And considering the acquisition, I think you got to throw him in these important games, and especially because the season's not going that well.
Yeah, now that I will 100% agree with. Like, I don't get what their ideology is with starting Handanovic.
All right, so Onana, if he hit the market at his value, he would have cost $40 million. Because they got him for free, they feel less pressured to having to play him regularly. And because his market value is not what they got him for, I don't think Inter, like I said, I don't think Inter are really feeling the pressure or thinking of it that way because of the lack of the lack of a fee. Does that make sense? I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that.
Well, that actually makes logical sense. But yeah, it's just a total thing. And I was sorry if you heard me laughing, because you know that Jose Mourinho taking off the headphones meme?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danielle Larsson, when she hears she has to face Roma after international break.
And you know why the reaction? It's because of what happened on the week. We'll get into the Roma thing. But because of, they're going to be so fucking pissed. Like, but you know the funny thing about that meme is the people who share it don't even know who Jose Mourinho is.
Exactly.
The little clip that goes viral where it says, "I'm Jose Mourinho." That one. Everybody who uses it don't have a fucking clue who he is, because they just use the sign or the sound for their whatever Instagram or TikTok videos. Yet they don't have a fucking clue who the guy is, because most of the people using them are not Inter supporters or Roma supporters or football fans in general, which I think is really fun.
Yeah, that is so true. Like, a lot of people just use random meme templates and go with it, but it is a really good meme though. But
yeah, just for fun, sir, just real quick, just for fun, sometimes I'll go on those accounts and just comment, "Bro, you don't know who Mourinho is," with an angry face.
Oh my gosh, you always got to be starting drama, don't you?
I just enjoy it a bit.
You might just suggest you pick up knitting or something.
I don't do it aggressively, but just to stir the pot a little bit.
He's gonna stir. Hang on, wait, ladies and gentlemen, here's a new segment called "Where Elliot Stirs the Pot."
So you know the actress from I forgot the name of the show, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So I keep seeing her on my feed, and it annoys me. So there was some clip of, I think it was a fan account. And I was just, I just get annoyed because Instagram shows me the things I hate the most. I actually don't hate her, but there's things I don't want to see that they always show me, which is ridiculous. But I just commented.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't like Taylor Swift. I don't like Euphoria. I don't like, I forgot the other show it's called. There's another show I don't like. And that's all it shows me. I don't want to see your Taylor Swift videos. But I just commented on the thing saying, Millie Bobby Brown is the actress's name. But I just commented saying, "I keep seeing this girl everywhere. Who is she?" When I damn well know who she is. But it just kind of, anyway, annoying. Anyway, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. But yeah, and speaking of rivals, they lost 2-0 against the boys from Naples. So I'll let you go first on this one, and then I'll go first on the next one.
By the way, it was actually 2-1, just so you know.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's all right. The Napoli won the game, so you got that part right. So Inter's thing is this team is really good, but they're not playing well. There's no like identified problem other than if you want to argue, okay, the goalkeeper issue may be an issue, but the overall issue of the team is it's stacked deck for a Serie A side, and there's not an explanation for why they're not playing up to standard. For AC Milan, there is an explanation, and it's the explanation that I've been saying we've been talking about since the summer, since the opening of the transfer window. The transfer window is opened and closed, and we're having the same conversation. AC Milan needed two things this summer. They needed a rock star in midfield, and they needed a striker. Now, they brought in some depth pieces up top, and they brought in some midfielders. They got Astor Van Rocks from Wolfsburg. He's a bit raw, though. He needs development. He just can't go in there and immediately look like a seasoned pro. They brought some other pieces in that are pretty good as well, but not pieces that are just going to galvanize the midfield. They brought Charles from Club Bruges, who is a striker, but also is probably his best position is center attacking midfield. But again, he's a young player with a huge promise. I don't have an issue with the amount that AC Milan paid, but his primary strength is in playmaking in the middle. I think he's going to have a good season, et cetera, et cetera. I thought when they signed him, they were going to put him at top because he's played striker and scored goals in that position. So if there's this question about what AC Milan did wrong, number one, they waited too long for the midfield thing. They let their number one target, Renato Sanchez, go to PSG, and they let their backup their backup plan go to Wolves. So you have to look at that part of it. They got Charles in the end, which is a good signing, and I'm happy for them. But you left nothing up top. You got Olivier Giroud, who's scoring goals, to be fair. He scored in this game. You're not getting a lot of contributions from Rafael Leao. The only contributions he's had this season was in the Inter game, which was amazing. But overall, he's not had a great season. And you're just not having – you don't have that guy up top that can get you 15, 20 goals. And you could say, okay, maybe Olivier Giroud can get you 15 to 20. It's possible. But that's not the point. You need an absolute monster up top. And there are strikers available who could do that job. At least go for something, because at least with because that's what Napoli did with Victor Osimhen, who was coming off a good season at Lille. They signed him, and again, he's never available. But when he's healthy, he's very good. So I think the whole issue with AC Milan is they didn't handle the summer well, and they didn't sign a striker. When things were going sour, you do whatever you can to fill the position, and you know, Alessandro Tonali is in midfield with, and their midfield is okay, but they needed a baller in midfield. They need a baller up top. But if you're only get one, you go for the striker because you need someone who can make a big difference. Because you look at top seven teams, all have someone who can score 20. Not saying they all will, but has a player that's capable of doing that. So that's the big problem in the general sense of AC Milan. In the game, Napoli looked good. I don't think they've looked amazing, because I don't think anyone's looked amazing. I think the quality of the league over the last 2 weeks has been much better, but the teams are still not at the level they need to be at. You look at all aspects of this team, they played well, but I think getting points in Milan is crucial, because that was a fortress last season. It's not doing it. Inter obviously have their issues. AC Milan are being bad defending champions. Nobody's okay. With respect to you and the Inter supporters and the AC Milan supporters, nobody's scared of you, either of you. So you have to look at that part of it too, and you're not creating a system and a team that has the potential to put the fright in opponents. Last year, Inter was a terrible place to go. A way at AC Milan was a terrible place to go. Them coming to your house was a terrible situation. But for Napoli, I think they're doing really well. I think because Napoli are the ultimate bottle jobs, they'll hit a snag at some point and they will fall off, but they're doing as well as they can at this point. And they've looked really good in some of their wins. They look not so good in other some of the other results, and then sometimes they look non-existent. This was a good performance. It wasn't sensational. They get the penalty. Giroud scores. And then Serie A's Jeremy Lin comes off the cross into the box, and Gio Simeone puts it in the back of the net. We saw another very inspirational performance from Kvara. By the way, that's his nickname. You know the dude with 100 letters? That's what, on Wikipedia, that's what they say, known as Kvara. So we can now say his name out loud. But Napoli looked good enough to get the points. And I think they did just enough. And I think that's the point. They got the points. Eventually, they're going to come up to a moment where they don't perform well, and they get stunted, and maybe that affects their rise in Serie A right now. But I think Napoli looked they looked good enough. They did enough to get the result. But to me, from this result, it's a more reflection of AC Milan and what they failed to do in the summer.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, if you don't fill those voids, especially in the striker area where you know you have absolutely nobody who can score like those 15-plus goals, you go for it. But they didn't do that, so that's kind of like one of their visible areas where that has that major weakness, where they're not getting the goal. I mean, they're getting goals occasionally here and there from the midfield, who is doing a lot of the orchestrating.
Giroud is scoring, but he's not 23.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's scared of Giroud. Giroud is a capable goal scorer. We all know he's one of the most underrated ballers of this decade. But that's not enough. That's kind of my point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But then you have, although that they do have great depth in other areas, but you needed that striker. If they got that striker, we could be looking at a whole other AC Milan team, but that is not the case. But then you have Napoli. Obviously, I also agree with you at some point there. Obviously, we've seen this from Napoli, like from various seasons where they're doing totally amazing. But then once they hit that loss, it kind of, the wheels on the bus literally start to fall off. So I think it will happen at some point. We just don't know when. But right now, they are doing really, really well. And obviously, what was the guy's name?
Kvara. You can call him – Kvara is what they have him on there. But I listened to somebody say his name. But I'm just not going to remember that regularly. Kvara is something that I think we both can pronounce a lot. So we can stop calling him the kid from Georgia.
Yeah. So then they brought in Kvara, who happens to be doing very well for them. And then you have some of the similar players that have been there over seasons past doing their thing. But right now, they're doing solid. And if this was a whole other situation where we know Napoli wouldn't bottle drop, they were at this point are definitely the favorites, but obviously I'm not holding my breath. I do think they will fizzle out at some point. It's just a matter of time before they hit that opponent that gives them a run for their money. But just overall, in regards, I do agree with you. This going to the San Siro should not scare anybody anymore, just based on what we've been dishing out over the past few weeks. Do I hope it improves in the league, at least with the top contenders, things improve throughout? Absolutely, because I want to see, obviously, it's the performance has picked up in the league, but it's just not, still not where we're usually used to seeing it.
Yeah,
but I know.
God, but I was going to say the teams are great or aren't great, but the quality of the last 2 weeks has been exceptional.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much hit the nail on the head on that one. But it's just right now with the top teams performing, not really performing, but it's still good with the league. It's just not really, I would say, drawing the what we call the neutral viewer. But hopefully that's
an exception to the last 2 weeks. The last couple weeks before that, I'm with you. Last 2 weeks, I don't agree. I think if anyone watched Serie A this week or the week before, they'll come back next week. Where if they watched before that, then it's a whole different, which is good. Like the whole thing with the Queen Premier League not happening, Serie A was like, oh shit. So they had to put on a show and then to put people back into it. But the weeks prior to that, it's not been good. But I like the optimism we're seeing from the last 2 weeks. But again, we know the story.
And I hope that momentum carries on because we need that bad. Let's see. What other matches did I have on the agenda for Serie A? Obviously... we'll just talk about this one since you had brought it up earlier. Atalanta win 1-0 against your boys Roma.
Okay, well let's be clear. What is my rule about complaining to referees? If you play like shit, you don't get to complain about calls. Has that not always been my rule?
Hold on, we're going back to the databases and it says that's pretty much the rule.
Okay, so I just want a second person to say that so people understand where I'm coming from with this. All right, look, Atalanta had one shot on goal they scored. Fair enough, it was a good goal, it was a good strike, etc. I think it took a slight deflection on the way down, but you know, fair enough. Atalanta did not have good possession. They barely had the ball at all. They created no chances, while Roma had more chances than anything. They had the ball at their feet the majority of the game. So I just want to people can understand. Roma dominated this game. They were in control. Like I said in my article, they ran circles around them. They didn't look like two teams from the same league. They looked like Atalanta was from Serie B, and they were under, you know, it, just based on the performance of the game itself. Zaniolo cut in. He got into dangerous areas. They continuously made mistakes. Secondly, Dybala did not play. If he did, maybe this is, you know, if this is a whole different situation.
Can I ask a question really quick?
Go ahead.
Was Dybala injured or something?
He had a hamstring pull in the warm up. So he's expected to play, but in the warm up he had a nick, but he's fine. It's not a serious injury.
Okay,
he's
good.
He's expected to play in the Inter game. He's been called up for Argentina, but I don't expect him to feature that much. So he will be raring to go. For the Lukaku Dybala showdown. So Dybala didn't play. Maybe that could have changed the game. I'm going to talk about some real football stuff before we talk about the archaic officiating. So Roma's issue, it seems to continue to be the same thing, which is not finishing chances in front of goal. I love Tammy Abraham. He's my boy. He's my guy. I hope he gets into the England squad at the World Cup time. As Roma supporters, we love him and embrace him. He took the number 9 from Dzeko, scored 27 goals last season, led us to a trophy. But he did not play well. He missed a one-on-one. Not an open goal, but he should have scored. There's no doubt about it. He had another chance where he should have scored. There was multiple opportunities for us to score, and we just didn't do our job and due diligence in front of goal. I like the midfield we have right now, but I don't think Cristante and Matic are necessarily a great pair together. I like them both for this team, but I don't know if they're a good pair for the defensive midfield. So there are some things that we need to work out. Potentially putting one of the young guys in there. Yeah, Matty Camara, who we just got from Olympiacos, will be potentially a better fit for either or. Both deserved game time, but I don't think they play to get they. I don't think their skill sets complement each other well enough. Okay, on the top of that, you know, you look at this team and what we've seen from a positive standpoint when the game was losing its momentum or whatever you want to call it. Shiromidov, who has barely played this season, came off the bench and inspired the team. I don't think he is long-term. I don't think he'll be here long-term. But for the short-term, I think he's what we need, especially with some of the injuries to Gini Wijnaldum and some of the other things. We're dealing with Karsdorp's injured. I'm so because Karsdorp has had work on his knees done before. All I know is he's had further tests on his knees. I'm terrified to click on the article. I want to be surprised because then I'm going to get depressed about him. But the good news, in and done well on that side. But Roma just did not do well enough in front of goal. That's just straight facts. So that's a big issue for the Roma part of it, but they did dominate the game, et cetera, et cetera. So now, Alanta, now I'm going to complain about the referees. Alanta, we're outplayed, outclassed, and this is an Alanta Gasparini that we know this for. We go for the throw. That's what we do. We're an attacking monster. That is the football that Gasparini has built there. We don't care about defending. We just go for the throw. Now, the defending has gotten better with some of the acquisitions they made, but it's the way they play goes against everything they have done, and they've done well this season, to be fair to them. But in this game, they looked it was just a different class and a different level. All right, so now let's get to the bullshit, and hopefully I don't have to talk about this ever again. All right, so Roma had potentially 3 sure penalties, maybe 4. Not one of them was called. Now, I'm not trying to say that there's an agenda because Roma fans are saying that. I don't believe that. But if the jerseys were different, if Roma were wearing a different color on that night, I think we get some of those penalties. I'm going to let the audience imagine what jerseys I could be talking about. I'm talking about one in particular. But you can use your imagination to who I'm referring. I'm not trying to complain and that there's some agenda. So first one comes, I'm gonna explain all 4. First one comes in, Zaniolo goes into the box, spins the defender inside out. He's running, he has his shirt pulled from the back. He tries to maintain possession of the ball. He makes one touch afterwards, but it doesn't matter. If you want to call it soft, if you have your shirt pulled in the box, it is a penalty. There's no ands or buts about that. Okay, so Roma going to the second half with Alanta winning, very early in the second half, Zaniolo pushes him, gets into the box, in a very dangerous position. He is shoved to the ground by the defender. A clear penalty as day. It was not only not a penalty, it was given as a free kick in the other way. So if you wonder why Mourinho won't be sitting on the bench in the game on next week, this is why. Because Mourinho tried to come on the field yelling and had to be held back by 2 assistants. He gets sent off. He goes to sit in the crowd. 30 seconds, I kid you not, 30 seconds later, almost the same things happen. Zaniolo's getting his shorts nearly pulled off as he goes to ground. No penalty. And then there was a third one with, I believe, Pellegrini or Abraham. I can't remember which one that was also taken down in the box. So we're talking about 4 penalties. 4. Not 1. I'm going to – in my inner LeBron James. Not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 penalties that should have been given. That changes the entire complexion of the game. Roma, given those 4 penalties, they probably win the game. Now, if they get one of the penalties and scores, maybe the other 2 penalties don't occur. But they at least deserve to get something from this game. It was ridiculous officiating. And we can, you know, and you can understand Mourinho's frustration and Roma's frustration because they lose this game. A game in which they have, you know, they have. Again, Roma dug their own grave with the lack of chances of finishing in front of goal. But those 4 penalties, you know, could have changed the outlook of the game, and I think it was absolutely ridiculous. And, yeah, it was lost for words. I was depressed for 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, Roma performed – were definitely the ones that kept Atalanta on their toes. They had majority of the chances, majority of the passes. But – they just finished, and that continues to, I totally agree, another one of your key struggles is capitalizing on those opportunities that are given to you, especially in front of goal. But then, obviously, you factor in all those penalty situations that should have definitely gone your way. I mean, when you're literally pushing somebody to the ground in front of the official, or you're getting a shirt or your shorts pulled down, has your head going down, that is definitely clear as day a penalty, whether it's soft or not. And obviously, I do agree with, if those penalties were given, it would have been a different outcome, but you did shoot yourselves in the foot by not being able to finish those chances. And then you have Atalanta, who went up. Yay, good for you, but their performance was not that great. They continued. And I mean, this, we've talked about this, how the decline of Atalanta has happened over the past two seasons from where they used to be. And so Roma 100% should have gotten something out of this. And I don't think I don't think there's an agenda, but if you were wearing any other colors, they would have definitely given you the
color. Specific colors. If you're a football fan and you watch Serie A, two colors went into your head. You can pick whichever one you prefer.
Yeah. Would they be AC Milan or Inter?
Maybe, maybe not. there's a third one as well, but there's a few teams that that I would have said that or something, but I don't want to try to push blame to another club. It's not their fault, whoever they may be, that there are certain teams that are getting, that are Serie A wants to do well, and et cetera. You understand how this works. It's an unfortunate situation. And yeah, my issue actually is not with VAR, which a lot of people have issues with it. My issue is with the referee's initial decision, and they can decide to go to VAR or not. So I think there's those certain things that the decisions that they make need to be checked, number one, or number two, just they need to be better. They just need to be making better decisions. And Roma did not play well, but just didn't finish their chances. So it's their own fault as well. But at the same time, you have to look at, you know, that aspect of the argument as well. And it's an unfortunate situation. And I think it's unjust. Alonso actually this season have been very, very good. This is the first time they haven't played well. But it's concerning the way they did play. So I think that also factors into it as well. But if you're Alonso, if there's an Alonso fan, I think you'd be happy with the result, but not celebrating like you won the World Cup. You know what I mean? Because there was some issues with how the result went and all that stuff, but we get it.
Yeah, 100%. And the last match we are going to be talking about, at least in the side of Serie A, is Monza's 1-0 win against Juventus. Juventus, where are you at? I mean, Inter Milan have been terrible, don't get me wrong, but there is playing terrible, and then there's Juventus who are steaming hot garbage at the minute. I mean, obviously, this is a team that won 9 Scudettos in a row, obviously, before being dethroned by Inter. But this is just not the team that we used of old. I mean, obviously, we talked about how Allegri was a bad decision reappointing him after he pretty much hadn't been watching the sport, I guess, for like a year or two, or whatever, however long it was. Then you have the dinosaur tactics, where he plays more of a defensive style of football than attacking, which has been very prevalent in the past few matches, and in my opinion, is costing them much needed points.
He plays Jurassic Park football. That's what he plays.
Hashtag Jurassic football. Brought to you part by... Oh, God.
Max Allegri.
In association with the Old Lady Productions. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This always happens. Sorry. But I mean,
and Monza were bottom of the league too. They hadn't won a game. I don't think they had any points until they fucking played Juventus.
It's like, hey, what's up? But yeah, anyway, you have Allegri who continues to play that defensive style of football, which does not work with this Juventus team anymore, especially since you have more, I guess, attack-minded players on your squad. You have Vlahovic, you have, who else we got?
Di Maria, you have Maria. Kostic, you have, Locatelli and McKinney, they're still there in midfield. You have Chiesa hasn't played this season, but he'll be coming back. They have enough. They have enough ammo in that team. And even if, regardless of how you feel about Andreas Milik, he does have a good goal scoring record, in the league, and he has a good goal scoring record in general. So that's another piece you have. I don't love that piece, but they have goals in this team. They're just not allowed to score because of the style of play and all that stuff.
But yeah, if Allegri got his head out of his keister and really changed the dynamic of like playing more attacking minded, this Juventus team would be more a deadly team to play up against because we've seen what they are capable of. Unless Allegri is sacked, it's going to probably continue throughout the rest of the season.
Go ahead.
Okay, I will answer your question, then I'll finish out the rest of like.
No. It's important that you finish your thought, and then I want to bring something up that you talked about, but just finish your thought. It's all good.
Okay, and then on the side of Monza, their team that is full of Serie A talent. Also, Ranocchia, who played for them briefly before tearing his ACL again, had made his retirement. So good luck, Frog. We love you. But it's like they didn't perform that well, but they had that just one opening that they needed to score that goal. And obviously,
great goal, by the way.
I agree. And if like I said, it's just coming down to the tactics of Allegri and Monza. Obviously, they didn't perform that well, but they did know what was needed to find that little opening and solidify themselves the 3 points, which are their first points within the league.
Yeah, I mean, Monza in general has not done well this season. They were this team that was supposed to be the surprise of the promoted teams. They haven't looked good at all. In this game, though, if you look at I'm not a stat guy, but the stats were so jarring that I'm just going to reference this. So, I don't have the computer in front of me, so I'm just, I don't know what the word is. You get what I'm saying. I'm just, whatever.
Estimating.
Estimating. Roughly what I saw. So Monza had over 60% possession. They completed their passes at 81%. I think it was a little higher. I think it was like 86-87%. They completed more than 200 more passes than Juventus. If you're going in Monza as Juventus and you have 30% possession and you have a newly promoted side that doesn't have that very little points, maybe 1 point in the season. I think, they had 1 point in the season before that. You go into their house and you let them outpass you by 200. I think that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, this all comes down to Allegri, though. And you know what's hilarious for us and devastating for Juventus is about this, though?
What's that?
They can't sack him. And here's why. So Allegri signed a 4-year deal that he's in the second year of right now. Okay, so this is just some information that you should be aware of. It was a 4-year deal at $9 million a year. So that's close to $40 million total. The contract he negotiated was similar to the one Spalletti negotiated when Inter sacked him, and he still was paid. So he will get paid. He will still get his salary if they get rid of him. So just think of this for a second. He's got another, let's see, 9, 18, 20, 27 million still to be paid throughout his contract. If they sack him, they're still going to have to pay him his $27 million. If and the big hot prospects on the market right now are Zidane and Tuchel. Those coaches are probably gonna request about the same per year. Tuchel probably do it for maybe a little less. So Tuchel would his asking price would be between 6 and 9 million. I think Zidane would want 10, 11, 12 million. He's got three Champions Leagues. He's got a bunch of La Liga titles. He's although I don't rate him the highest, he does have a resume of the gods. If you just look at what he's accomplished. So you're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay Allegri his $27 million if they sack him. And then they're going to hire Zidane or Tuchel, for example. And if regardless who it is, that's probably another $9 million on it and on a long-term deal. So they would have to pay Allegri while they're paying a new coach for this season and beyond. So if you think about how much money that is, and I don't know how much Zidane and Tuchel would ask for, but the point is if they sack him, they have to pay him the $27 million, and they're going to have to pay the new coach salary, a high salary for coming in, because they're going to go out and get a high-profile coach. So if they do that and get a new coach in, their transfer budget for this summer is going to be fucked, because they're still paying off the Max Allegri, and they're going to have to be paying whoever comes in. And, you know, as much as I think Max Allegri plays Jurassic Park football and he's past his time, and he doesn't have his philosophy and his theories of football just don't apply to this style anymore. And that's just, you know, it is what it is. But I got to commend him for negotiating that contract, because it's going to either keep him in a job that he should not be in, or he's going to get a bag if he gets sacked, and he'll have a great payday. Now I think this all comes down. This all stems from the top of the thing with Agnelli and the lapdog Nedved. The two of them making these type of decisions, making these erratic decisions. And if you look at the whole algorithm of what's happening, they might have to sell one of their big pieces if they do this. The question is, will they cut their throat out and sack him for the betterment of improving this season, or will they just sit on it and just go for next season? Because I don't think they can go for a big signing next season if they were to do this. Now, you could cover many of the basics. Monza looked good. They got their goal. They won the game. Juventus have lost, have only two wins on the season, a opening day victory against Sassuolo, and obviously they beat the 9-time Champions League winners Spezia in the 90th minute, and then the rest of their results are a bunch of draws, and they lost to Benfica, they lost to PSG, and based on how things are going, I think they could lose to Maccabi Haifa. I'm not even joking. Maccabi Tel Aviv. Israeli people, don't kill me. So if you look at that thing, what they were doing with that, they could end up bottom of the group, because I for one think Maccabi Tel Aviv is better than Monza, and they just lost to Monza while being dominated. So it's just a total fucking mess. But I think it's hilarious how trapped they are and how enthused the rest of the league is going to be, because they ran the train on us for many, many years, and it's finally coming to where other teams have a chance to do things, and you know they're absolutely trapped, and this is the worst Juventus in 30 years, and it's crazy. And the old saying, Juventus will figure it out and qualify the Champions League this season, I don't think they will.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I don't think they'll make it if this continues. Normally you're right. They had usually would figure out a way to get back into it, but I don't think it's going to happen. And we're as they say, knocking on wood that happens.
Yes, okay. They stay in Europe. They stay in Europe. I think they could finish Europa League spot probably, but I can't see them in the Champions League and maybe even below that. But I think because Juventus is Juventus. I want to give them some respect. I would say at least in the Europa League spot, but I think Champions League is a lost cause currently. But things could change. But as currently constructed, that's what I see here.
Yeah, I agree. So now to talk about some German matches that took place. First, I'm just going to start off with the bat and go with, let's see, who did I put? Augsburg winning 1-0 against Bayern.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, and then I'll do the next one.
Okay. I didn't. All right, but let me open the door one thing because I want my to say some things when we start that one. Yeah, this is crazy. This is the best thing that can happen in the greatest way, but also it's difficult to see what is happening because Bayern Munich team. Look, they have the depth from year to year. They have some of the best players in the world. They have some of the best talents in the world. They're really a nearly unstoppable machine. We've seen it in the Champions League against Barcelona, against Inter. But for whatever reason, the Champions League, so the Bundesliga has been a little bit more difficult for them. I don't know if it's the pressure. They were thrown off by the way how good some of the other teams have been and how they performed. I don't know if they're demoralized from Jan Sommer's 19 saves. because since that game, actually since the week before, they haven't got maximum points once. It's Gladbach draw, Stuttgart draw, Union Berlin draw, and I'm missing one, I think. So you're looking at all of the things connecting, and it's just in the Champions League is going fine. In the Bundesliga, it's just not going right. Maybe I really don't have an answer for this because it's kind of the Inter thing where I'm confused. But Bayern Munich don't have mental problems. You know what I mean? So it's not even – I can't even say, oh, the mentality is not good enough. That's not really true because they're Champions League they've won the Champions League twice in the last 10 years. They are a team that always goes after and always has that mental fortitude to get a goal when they need it. Like they did in the Barcelona game, like they did in the Gladbach game, like they did in so many. And it's just like they have a great team, but it, like collectively they're just – I don't know. They're not gelling the way they were at the beginning of the season. And recently it looks like, you know, with Inter, it's Lautaro or bust. It's kind of looking like Sané or bust in Munich. And I know Musiala has played pretty well the last couple of weeks as well, but it seems like Sané is trying to move heaven and earth to find the back of the net and inspire them. And it's just, for whatever reason, things aren't clicking. And maybe Nagelsmann, who I don't think should be under any pressure for getting sacked, because you're not going to find a better manager on the market anyways. But I think maybe he's adaptable manager who always changes his system. I think he should stay with this is my opinion. I think he should stay with the system he started in the Leipzig game at the beginning of the season in the Super Cup. You put Musiala in midfield instead of out wide, and you put Mane with Müller up top, and then on the outside you can have a combination of Sane, Gnabry, or Sane and Coman. But I think that's the way to do it. On the Augsburg side, they handled this game extremely well. Bayern had possession, but when they pressed them when they didn't have it, they put pressure on them constantly. I think they were thrown off by how much they were pressurizing the situation. And then eventually they had that moment. They cashed in. And, you know, again, the goalkeeper in Augsburg is a fucking machine. He's the goalkeeper of the season so far. Another game where he's saving absolutely fucking everything. And in the very end, I don't know if you saw the end of it, but Manuel Neuer comes up for the last play of the game. The corner's hooked in. Manuel Neuer gets on the end of it and nearly steers it into the bottom corner. But the goalkeeper, Augsburg, makes a late save. Yeah, so it's confusing, but it's also there are ways to fix this. And I don't think we should be panicking yet. Now, if they go losing to Dortmund, I think that game is soon. I don't know exactly when it is, but I think it's very soon. If they lose in that game or they don't perform well in that game, then we can panic a little bit. But as long as they keep winning in the Champions League and as long as I don't know. It's a puzzling situation, but I think you modify the system, you stick with it for now until you get momentum back. And I think moving Musiala back into midfield, and you put Sané out wide with Müller and Mane up top, and I think that's the best way to fix it. And they should start giving more minutes to Ryan Gravenberch. I think Goretzka is not at 100% and probably shouldn't be starting games for a little while. And so for the time being, you get your young talent in that situation and let him work, as well as I'd like to see more minutes given to Matthias Telles as well.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's really not much to add because you pretty much cover all the bases. But yeah, it is a puzzling situation, just like the Inter thing. But you're right. There is no mentality issue because they are doing well within the Champions League. But for them, it's easily fixable. Just getting the right players and sticking with them, unless like an injury occurs where you have no choice but to rely on another player. Or if you need to alternate pieces here and there to keep the players fresh, obviously continue to do that. But you just stick with a routine field so they can gel and really have that cohesiveness that we're usually used to seeing from a Bayern team. But Augsburg, you're right, definitely handle themselves very well in this situation, especially up against like the top dogs in the league over the past decade. They found that opening that they needed and followed through. And like sometimes it's a goal is all you need to get those 3 points. And it was that scenario that happened this weekend for Augsburg. Very well done. Good job for keeping up the pressure on a Bayern team that has been very successful within Bundesliga and the Champions League. But right now it's just a puzzling situation where it's a team, unlike Inter, they have the team from top to bottom, but they also have a really strong mentality. There's, like you said, it's very easily fixed, but just right now it's not looking good for them. But if they do lose against like another top team, such as like Dortmund, you're right, I do believe it's in like the week back or maybe 2 weeks later.
I think it's from the week back, but it might be the week out. I'm not sure. But they are. You have to also remember they are 4 points from the top of the league right now. They're in fifth place right now. So, and Augsburg is picking. Sorry, not Augsburg. Hoffenheim are picking up points. Freiburg is picking up points, even though they've drawn two in a row. And then Dortmund are picking up points, and Union Berlin are picking up points. So, you know, they need a big victory to get it back. And it's true that they don't have a mentality problem, but you can also say that the last 2 weeks, Sané has been the only player I can rely on consistently to perform for me. And I think that's kind of a problem. I don't think that's mentality either. I think that might just be a bad stretch, but you know, there are certainly things that we have not liked from Bayern, at least the last couple of weeks, because it's been a month since they won a game in the Bundesliga, which is concerning, especially considering there are several points from the top of the league at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. But definitely fixable. And hopefully that they get back to their winning ways once the international break is over. German win 1-0 against Schalke.
Yeah, it's the Revere Derby. The most historical, iconic, and important derby for German football. It's the culture. It's a derby like not like any other, but it's just there's just something special about it, because a lot of derbies are one sided or close to one sided. It just depends how it is. This one is pretty similar in terms of the amount of points, the amount of draws, the amount of victories for both teams is incredible. And the Veltus Arena and Signal Iduna Park are 16 minutes from each other. So when you see a derby like this, it's family, it's friends, it's For a afternoon, it's war for 90 minutes, and it was a perfect stage for Schalke to at least perform and show us something. And just for some backstory, the great tragedy of German football actually is Erling Haaland has never played a Revere Derby in front of fans, and I think that is tragic. I think that's the worst thing it's the worst news I've ever heard. And obviously, he's not there anymore. He's he's scoring for fun in Man City. But the last time there were, so obviously they got relegated, et cetera, et cetera. The last time Dortmund and Schalke were in front of fans, you have to go back all the way back to 2019. Dortmund actually lost to Schalke in that game, 4-2. I don't remember the goal scores, but you know, so you can see it's intense. Schalke have six in this derby. Schalke have 60 wins. Dortmund coming in had 55 wins, and then they've also drawn like 42. They've played this game since 1925. You look at passion, and if you look the word up in the dictionary, they're gonna show you a picture of the blue, the yellow and black smoke coming from the distance as the match kicked off. You'll see some blue smoke from the other side of the Schalke fans in attendance. And for the first several minutes of the game, you could barely see the ball because of the smoke being – because these fans have waited so long for this match, for them to go out there together and see the teams go head-to-head. As far as the game, Dortmund looked very good in the early parts. Anthony Modeste up top isn't really working. But, you know, I think overall they pressured well. But Schalke's defensive approach was exceptional, was truly special, and they kept Dortmund at arm's length for much of the game. Unfortunately, Marco Reus got injured again, which was a very scary moment because he has missed four international tournaments for Germany, including the World Cup in 2014 when they won the World Cup. He is, you know, it's unfortunate how often he gets hurt. On the other side of things, he did. It has been announced that he only missed 3 weeks, so he still should make it back in time for the World Cup. They brought on Giovanni Reyna, the American. He contributed well. Schalke defended, and then eventually Dortmund brought Moukoko off the bench, a 17-year-old who's actually played for Dortmund for 2 years. Cross comes in, he gets on the end of it, backs post, and unfortunately Schalke, a valiant effort, the best defensive performance they've had all year, but again, a one chance finish from Moukoko settles it. But also Dortmund were excellent, especially in the middle with Jude Bellingham, and how he continues to progress as one of the top players in the league. But you know, that goal at the end settles it, but it was intense, it was close, and it was exactly what we needed in the return of this derby.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Jude Bellingham is like a baller. I mean, he continues to like go in and week out to try to get something going for Dortmund, even though some of the results haven't really showed that. But you have Dortmund getting that one goal that was absolute. I mean, sometimes, like I said, some of these matches this week, one goal settles the deal. And it was just, and it was Dortmund who got this. But obviously you had Schalke, who's been waiting for this derby to come back to life after being in Bundesliga 2. But then they did perform really well defensively, but obviously Dortmund. Oh, fudge me. Here we go again. But, story of my life. But, yeah, Dortmund is one of the most dominant of those two teams. And Schalke, seriously, obviously, yeah, you lost, but don't be mad at yourselves for how you performed. You performed very well, despite the team you were going up against. But overall, another win in Dortmund's book. Obviously, we stated that Dortmund didn't do well in the first few matches, performance-wise, even though they were getting the points, but they just started really picking it up a notch, and which is what we like to see. Even if a team doesn't perform well in the first few weeks, we expect them to at least get better as the season progresses, and they did just that, and they're performing at the level we're used to seeing from them.
They got rocked by Leipzig last week, but ever since the collapse against Brennan, I think they've looked a lot better.
Yeah, I definitely 100% agree. Okay, I'm just gonna go and say Mönchengladbach has definitely been performing very well lately, especially last week against this past week against Leipzig. Obviously, Leipzig was a team we were expecting to do a little bit better than what they have been, but and then we expected Mönchengladbach to. I'm surprised at how good Mönchengladbach has been this season. Just based on what I've seen from them in the past, but they get a massive 3-0 win against Leipzig, and obviously they went out with an agenda of just attack the Oh, come on, break! Come on, come on! Don't shut down on me now. I know it's almost bedtime soon, but yeah, they went up against Leipzig's goal and just fired on all cylinders throughout the course of the match. Defensive wise, they were able to keep the ball away from Leipzig, even though they did have a good fair amount of possession themselves, but they just knew what to do to get the ball back in several strong counterattack situations. And obviously, you have the. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head who scored those goals, but overall, was a very well done performance from Mönchengladbach, who continues to prove that they're actually doing a possible contenders for a European position this season. Which is something that, but obviously, right now I'm still keeping my guard up on that because I've seen this some of the story before with them where they can perform very well for like the first half of the season, then they start fizzling out of that spot. So, but hopefully, I'm proven wrong and they continue up that momentum. Leipzig, on the other hand, they did what they could, but just they couldn't finish those opportunities that were given to them. Defensive wise, they lost the ball on too many situations, and this just isn't the Leipzig team that we have seen in the past, like even 2 to 3 seasons, where they would finish at least in the top half of the table. If things aren't adjusted soon, I would say hit the panic switch.
Yeah, no, I think you're bang on. It's interesting because Leipzig have the best squad outside of Bayern in the league, and I really do think that they have huge potential with the squad. But I talked about this on my other podcast. It's like they have too many good things that they can't figure out how to crack the system. They have too many great attacking players. How unfortunate are we? You know what I mean? And they can't figure out how to make all the pieces fit. I think they should go to a diamond with two strikers up top and then one in the middle, the attacking mid there. And I think that's the way to do it. You play a diamond with there, and I think the results will change. And I think, they had a resounding victory last week, but Dortmund just didn't show up for that one. But they really did look like a lost team. They have arguably the best player in the league, in Christopher Nkunku, and they still can. To lose like this, if you lose 2-1, okay, fair enough. If you get rocked like this, it's just a bad look for them because, they're well, 8th, 9th, 10th place now. They're only like 5 points from Champions League places. And I do think they'll get it cooking. And I still think there's a good possibility they could potentially make the Champions League, but I wouldn't put my money on it now. It looks, doesn't look, outside of last week's performance, they look almost the same. And, they look good against Real Madrid. And then obviously, Valverde scored in that game and looked at the celebrated as if I told him he couldn't do it. and then, there was a good, promising performance from that. And then they get slapped up by Gladbach, and I think I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the hell's going on with them. As far as Gladbach, they should just book their trip to Dublin for next year. I don't know if they should book the trip to Dublin, but they will be in the Europa League. I at the very minimum, I guarantee it, because this isn't like past years. They like I said, they can't hit water if they fell out of the boat. But now the boat that they have is keeping the humans inside of it. You know, they're actually scoring goals. They're clinical in front of finishing. And there was a little notice of not too much in front of goal at the beginning of the season, but it looks much stronger. It's much sharper. They don't have the biggest players, but Jonas Hofmann gets two, Rami gets a third, and I think Gladbach kind of just cruise to victory here. And you know, Daniel Farker, what have you done to the Gladbach I love so dearly? You know, it's like these misfiring shots that go to the moon. I'm not seeing very much of them anymore. You know. I like the way he plays too. I keep sending you message with Daniel Farker ball with the fire emoji. This dude was at Norwich for way too long, and he's finally in this good situation. He had a good niche with his team, and his football allows his team to get players in good position while also providing protection defensively. They lost a really important piece in Matthias Ginter at the back, and even on paper, their attack doesn't look that great. But he's getting the best out of the team that he has to his disposal. He's really, I really like the way they play, and I don't think they're going to be in the Champions League. I would guess Europa League, but they're still a good chance. I just think at this moment, I think Hoffenheim, Freiburg, and Union Berlin are better, and then you have Dortmund and Bayern. So those are five teams. One of those teams isn't making the Champions League. I don't think Gladbach is better than those teams. But if they could get a top six finish in his first season, I think it's tremendous. And I think he's exactly the culture shifter that Gladbach needed, and I think it's working marvelously.
I'm happy as a clam because at least my German club is at least trying to do something. So at least that's making me happy right now. They're the only thing that's keeping me from losing my mind right now. But I mean, yeah, he has been a difference maker. He's been really working with this team and making sure that they're working on becoming more clinical in front of goal, making sure that they're like more composed and working as a cohesive unit instead of like firing shots all the way to outer space. But yeah, I mean, he has just been amazing for that club, and I can't wait to see where he takes this club going forward. The last match we're going to talk about is your German boys.
Yeah, we're getting relegated. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, with that we say a boot, but just literally. But
let me go first. And my connection with Wolfsburg is different than the one I have with Roma, as I've explained several times. But I just see the writing on the wall. They're going to get relegated. You know, at least I have some hope. I'm leaving some hope for the bottom two to be Bochum, and I think Hertha eventually are going to dwindle down there. They're actually Hertha Berlin are shit. They're dog shit. They're the worst team in the league by far. But it does seem that they're doing well. But I do think eventually they'll dwindle down. So my hope is, and this is just false hope at this moment. Actually, this isn't false hope. The hope I have, as horrible as it may sound, is to finish in. Hold on, 16th. Now, 16th is not as does it. They're staying in German football is not a guarantee in 16th, but that would leave them into the playoff, which would give them a chance to maintain their status. You know, after what Schalke defensively did against Dortmund, I think they're going to be more up for it. They again in that game they did nothing going forward. But I think they'll get some. They're going to start getting points because I think they'll be really jacked up by it. Where Wolfsburg, they have the players and it's just not working. And it seems like the writing is on the wall. And it does seem like they're going nowhere fast. They can't score goals. They just can't score, and they can defend okay. But but it can only do so much if you can't stick the ball in the back of the fucking net. You know, that's a big problem. And because you look at the teams that are struggling, like Leverkusen, who's like, a couple of points in front of them. Leverkusen is going to get it going. Wurz is going to come back in January or February, and he's going to hit the ground running. He's going to start doing some gangster shit. So we know that they're going to rise up the table. Schick will start hitting the back of the net regularly. So Wolfsburg's hope right now is just to don't finish in the bottom two, because I think Wolfsburg would have a good shot against whoever finishes third in Bundesliga 2. So it's a troubling thing with Wolfsburg. On the other side, Union Berlin look absolutely phenomenal. They are top in the lead. They're riding high. The top probably duo in the league with Geraldo Becker and American Jordan Pforc. Both scored in this game. Pforc has 3. Geraldo Becker has 6. They got good in midfield with Trimmel, who's done a really good job defensively. They're excellent. They've only conceded – I think they've only conceded 2 goals this season, and those goals came against – one against Schalke and 1 against Bayern. They look like a real fucking problem for everybody else. And again, I – among the teams that are pushing up, I have more faith in Hoffenheim and Freiburg because of the personnel and their experience. But this Union Berlin team is something special. Similarly to what we're seeing in Italy with Udinese. And you look at all of the pieces are coming together. And again, the question that everyone keeps asking me is it sustainable? I'm not sure. But there's no signs of slowing down. Will they win the league? Probably not. But I think they can keep themselves at that top, near the top of the table. Because it would really depend on their first loss, how they're going to react to that, how they're going to handle that. And you have to look at all the angles, but they look ridiculous in the way they play. They are a tough team that it takes a lot out of you to play them. They exhaust you because of the way they play, and they're not conceding goals. And I think large parts of that is to the success of the team. And they lost their 2 best players the last 2 years, and they sign one guy, comes in and performs, and in the Bundesliga it's such a great thing, but apparently for the national team it doesn't matter, because a one of the top performing players in the Bundesliga, Jordan Pforc, doesn't get a call for the national team. You fucking, you know, I don't know what you're thinking. Yet Pulisic, who's been sitting on the bench for most of the year and has done absolutely nothing noteworthy the whole season, gets another call up. I mean, the American fans, you guys are so lucky I'm not the coach, because I would do things that would piss you off internally. But I think it's ridiculous that Jordan didn't get a call. But this Union Berlin team is the real, could potentially be the real deal. And I think this is it's really special what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I mean, Wolfsburg has just been struggling. And obviously you guys are having the reverse Mönchengladbach, where you guys are like either overshooting the goal or just not having that ball control that you're usually used to seeing from that Wolfsburg team. But then you have I think one of the areas that they are kind of still – I would say okay in is the defense, but it's still...
The defense is good.
I mean, the defense is pretty much the only good thing about the Wolfsburg team right now. But obviously, if you have a good team such as Union Berlin, even though they've had their struggles in the past, they know what they're doing, and they were seeing this Wolfsburg team every season, and they know how to break down those barriers in the defense and know where to go to find the back of the net. So you were going up against a different Union Berlin team. Obviously, Union Berlin is a solid mid-table team, I think, at best, but they've just really started kicking it up a notch this season, where you're seeing them be more meticulous on breaking down opponents' defenses along with maintaining a strong clinical attack in front of goal, especially. Whereas Wolfsburg, you would expect them to be more like lethal in front of goal. But in this season, that killer instinct.
It's not even we're not you're failing to score in front of goal. We have issues getting it into the box where we can have an opportunity to actually shoot on the fucking goal. It's just like the buildup is so bad and we're not getting good, you know, shit. And you look at the goals we have scored, which isn't that many. A lot of them are coming off set pieces or just rocket launchers from outside the box. We're not getting it inside the box, which I think is the big problem, which I think kind of circles into the midfield problems. But I don't know. It's just a mess overall, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, overall, this is just not good for Wolfsburg. Hopefully they figure out something, or else you will be relegated unless you are going one-on-one against the third team finisher in Bundesliga 2. But overall, it's just not looking good for them at the moment. So before we get out of here, we're going to do our usual donkey and player of the week. I'll let you go first.
For Serie A and Bundesliga, or both, or
well, one. Since this is a bound episode, you can pick, you can do whatever you want.
Donkey, the referees in the Atlanta game. Donkey, I guess Wolfsburg. I think Leverkusen played well, so I'm not gonna player in the Serie A this week, I would go with, I think Beto from Udinese, sorry. And then in the Bundesliga, I mean, it's tough because there's a lot of players that played well. But I would actually say, I'm going to go Jude Bellingham. The Osberg goalkeeper was really good, but I think Jude Bellingham's midfield play was exceptional and so on.
Let's see. Player of the week in Bundesliga goes to Augsburg. Definitely the Augsburg goalkeeper who kept everything out of their net. Player in Serie A, the whole entire Udinese locker room. Donkey. Juventus continues to perform terribly week in and week out right now and just is a shell of its former self. Literally, they are playing like their mascot, the old lady.
And the goat of the week is Allegri's agent for negotiating that deal to put Juventus in this position.
Oh my gosh, I can't even deal with you sometimes. But good God. That was funny.
Attack him because they owe him 27 million.
Yeah,
that's a masterstroke from the agent perspective, even though his football is dull and boring and he should be gone already.
Yeah.
They can't fucking have him. They can't sack him.
Let's see. And the donkey of the week in Bundesliga would be. I would have to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go with Wolfsburg. I mean, especially since their team that we would expect to at least finish mid-table isn't performing that well. But, I mean, other than that,
I thought you were going to say Bayern, to be honest, but that's a good shout, though.
Yeah, but other than that, that's all has me like to say. That's all she wrote. Good night.